If you're here and you're already a fan of the Stories with Traction podcast with Matt Zahn, we have got a treat for you today. So I'm Claire Davis. I'm the CEO and founder of Traction Resume, and we help careerists tell their stories on paper so they can lead the careers that fulfill them. And Matt and I have been working together for about 4 years, and after producing so many episodes and really understanding how you must tell your story to achieve your goals, we finally decided to come together so that we can answer some of the frequently asked questions that the business leaders that Matt coaches and the career executives that I work with are always asking us. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy this 15-minute FAQ sprint as we walk through some of your most burning questions. Thanks for joining us.
Persuading people to take the actions we want can be hard. Our teams and clients are bombarded with thousands of messages every single day. But there is a way for you to get above the noise. Stories. This is the Stories with Traction podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Zahn. Join my guests and me as we unpack the power of storytelling. We'll talk about topics like leadership, sales, and marketing all through the lens of strategic storytelling. Enjoy this episode.
And we're back with another 15-minute sprint of FAQs with Matt Zahn and Claire Davis. So Matt, tell me, heroes versus villains in storytelling.
All right, so this is really important to recognize that typically the villain is not a human being. Okay, so when we're talking about villains and we're talking about business stories, the villain is an obstacle to overcome. So it could be being more effective when it comes to our time. It could be not being able to close the sale or whatever is the wall for that person, but they don't want to make it a human. They don't want to project evil, so to speak, on a person. It just doesn't come across well, and there's an element of disconnection. Even when it comes to competitors, I see this all the time where someone will destroy a competitor. That is not the best way to connect. It actually frays when it comes to trust. You can even praise a competitor. You can talk about how great they are, but then talk about how your stuff's different based on A, B, and C. And when you talk about A, B, and C, one of the most powerful ways to do it is through stories, because it's tough to blow holes in arguments when it comes to stories. If you're quoting debatable comments, like saying, you know, I have the best company in this region, it's a highly debatable comment. But if you share story after story of customer you've helped, it's very difficult to tear into that story.
And as far as stories go, when you're putting together a story, what's the best way to structure it?
Okay, so do not overcomplicate it is the first thing I want people to recognize. If you make it complex, you're not going to be able to properly pull it off. You want to simplify as much as you possibly can. So the way you simplify is you start with a foundation, which we've talked about in the past. The foundation is the emotion. So what's the emotion at play? You tap into that emotion and build out topics when it comes to that emotion. And then you're asking yourself a simple question. What is the ordinary world? What is the new reality? So when it comes to sales, what's the ordinary world your prospect's in? What's the new reality that they will be in when they buy your product or service? When you are speaking at a staff meeting, what is the ordinary world your team's in? What's the new reality that they will be in when they buy into what you're saying? Okay. Then you have the character development, and typically that is a customer or a team member or a family member. So like me personally, when it comes to family, my wife, my kids, my sister, my mother, my father, my grandfather, I'm utilizing them as heroes that I learned X, Y, and Z from them. Here's where I was, here's what I learned from them, and then here's what happened. So if you do that, then you add an engaging beginning. So you have that engaging beginning, you've gone through the foundation, and then it's the point at the end. Okay, so the point is really what you want to convey. And that's all I recommend people focus on when we're talking about stories from a business perspective.
And, you know, when we're telling stories from a business perspective and we know the target or the person we're intending to connect with directly, the ICP or ICP&C, like you talk about often, how does the ICP&C change your storytelling?
Okay, so the ICP/C is significant. So ICP/C, ideal client persona or community. Okay, ideal client persona and or community. This is going to change based on so many different factors. So family situation, what generation, what's the highest level of education, what primary job responsibilities do they have, what's the most dominant state or region that they live in. So let's talk about family dynamics, okay? If you are sharing stories with people that are single, it might be different than people that have children. So the overwhelming majority of my clients have kids. So I would be foolish not to share stories of my children with business themes intertwined. That's why if you've ever been through one of my workshops or you've listened to a keynote of mine, you have heard stories of my kids, but I'm weaving in business principles. So that's really important. Generationally speaking, it can be vastly different. Are you speaking to baby boomers? Or are you speaking to millennials? It's really important to recognize the generation you're speaking to. What is the highest level of education? So for me personally, a lot of my clients have advanced degrees. It's going to change the way I share stories. So for me, I'm going to be more articulate with my communication versus more brash. So there's a lot of marketers that can be very brash and they love utilizing certain words, language. That is not who I'm speaking to. Right. So it's important to recognize when you hear someone that's a really good communicator, it might not necessarily need to be the communication style you want to adapt because it might not speak to your audience. So that is really important. Also, the state is important. So for people that do business in the United States, we are very culturally different when it comes to just different pockets of the country. So it's really important to recognize. I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with people in southern states. And they have a lot of team members in New York City, and they're wondering why can't they connect? Well, culturally, it's vastly different, and we need to change based on who our ICP/C is.
That's so interesting because really, it's all about who you're trying to connect with. It sounds like so. If you were to think and say, if I'm using this in a business sense, and I'm trying to inspire my employees, and that's the target. How do we tie stories to company values and it not be that motivational poster on the wall that all of us have seen?
Okay, I love this question because this comes up so many times and people are kind of blown away when I talk about this. Okay, but I want you to hear me out. Do not focus on company core values. It is a complete and utter waste of your time. At least the words. Focus on company core stories that exemplify the values you say you have. The reason why this is so important, and I'm going to challenge everyone listening, and you can test me on this. I would venture to say most of your team members cannot cite all of your values, okay? They may have had lunch in your break room that has the values posted for a decade. They probably have difficulty mentioning them because they're not memorable. So I always recommend share core stories that tie into the values you have. Another reason why this is so important is we think in pictures. So if you tell me you're a person of integrity, everyone has a different picture of what integrity might be. Now, there's a textbook definition, but show us through a story. This is really important when it comes to staff meetings. You know, when we're talking about putting the customer first and integrity and all these things a lot of companies have, you want to utilize a team member as the hero in the story and edify them and share with everyone, this is what we mean when we talk about putting the customer first. This is what we mean when we say integrity. This is what Lisa did last week. Maybe Lisa is a prime example of someone asked her something and she handled it with incredible integrity. Mm. That's something to point to. It makes the values so much more memorable.
That makes so much sense. And one brand comes to mind for me that does this so well, and it's Les Schwab. They switched their marketing completely to showing and telling stories that had to do with the core values, but in real life, and it's magnetic. So not just talking about our core values as just core values, but sharing them as stories. What are some other common missteps people can take when it comes to storytelling, and what should they do instead?
So the biggest mistake is someone focuses on themselves. Even if they have someone else positioned as a hero, they're thinking about how they look, how they sound, and they're not focusing on the audience. So they're constantly thinking about maybe their voice fluctuation and elements of stage dynamics and how they're looking. And that's all important. But if we're focused so much on how is it landing, we're actually focusing on the negative potential consequences, which is where a lot of people are. So the negative potential consequences is if you're in sales, am I going to close the sale? So they're constantly thinking, oh no, did I say the wrong thing? Am I going to offend someone? Is someone going to boo me if I'm on stage? Am I going to look funny? If you have those questions going through your mind, you're not going to be able to connect. And then also reframing what a story is when it comes to a business setting. It is not a movie production. It's not a Broadway play. We're not trying to dazzle people. It is an intentional, strategic story that has a point that connects to the audience.
And you don't want to hide those stories. So where do you find good stories? Where are they coming from?
All right, so they're coming from our life. They're coming from our day-to-day life, okay? I always love talking about stand-up comedians. My favorite stand-up comedian is Jerry Seinfeld. And one of the reasons why Seinfeld is so funny is he is a master at observational humor. So every experience that he goes through in life, he's asking himself one question: where is the funny in this? And he's constantly taking notes. Where's the funny in this? He's standing in line at the grocery store. He walks outside and he's in his front yard and he sees something go by his house. He's constantly asking himself, where's the funny in this? And he's adding material for his shows. As leaders or as someone that wants to connect with other human beings, we need to ask ourselves the same question every day. Where is the story in this? Where's the story in this that can expand our message? Where's the story in this that can boost our sales? Where's the story in this that can enhance our marketing? Where's the story in this that I can share for my team meeting tomorrow? Where is the story in this? And they're all around us. And what's interesting is sometimes we'll go through something, but because it's our day to day, we don't think anything fascinating about it, right? We live, we breathe it, and it's not fascinating to us, but it might be fascinating for other people to hear. It might be significant for them to hear. And often it's not their world. You know, for everyone that's done something again and again, it's not your client's world. So it's really important to not hold back certain things that would connect with someone when it comes to those stories.
So if someone has identified some stories that they know that they want to tell, and they're starting to frame them up in their mind and attach the emotional overlay to them, how then do they practice good storytelling?
All right, so practice, very simple. If you don't want to look silly, which again, we've talked about silliness before, when it comes to like getting the story out, you might look silly. When it comes to practice, you don't need to look silly. You can be in your car when no one that you know is around you, and you could just be going through the story in your home office. But it is important to pretend that you're literally giving the story to an in-person audience. Even if you are in your living room giving that story, you want to take on the movements that you might be having at an event. And it's really important to get those reps. And so you might look silly to a family member or the person next to you in your car, but you know, it's better to look silly practicing than it is when you are at a staff meeting trying to connect with your team, or if you have a prospect that could make or break your month and you want to convert to a client. It's not good to look silly when it comes to sharing a story then.
Mm-hmm. And do you recommend, is there a certain number of reps, or how do you know when you've practiced enough?
So I think it's different for everyone. I personally, this is my thought process, I don't think you can over-prepare. If the over-preparation comes out while you are sharing the story, that is when it looks too calculated. That's not a good thing. But to practice to make sure you're getting all the details right is really, really important. And it's going to be different for everyone because our circumstances are different. The different experiences that we have in life are going to dictate how quickly that process could come into play.
Yeah. And this is a good one. The next question I wanted to ask you was, how do you use storytelling to persuade or influence? Which I know is going to be a hot ticket item for anyone who's trying to tell better stories for sales. But since we are in this 15-minute stretch, they're going to have to wait until next time. So thank you so much for sharing everything that you did, Matt. And can't wait to hear about how to use storytelling to persuade and influence in the next one.
Thank you for listening to the Stories with Traction podcast. Please leave a review, since positive reviews will make it easier for others to find this conversation. Next episode will launch on Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, remember, if you want to persuade with power and inspire those around you to action, you must share more stories.